Hello, this is Shai Ostrov, and welcome to the second session in our program on mentoring using the principles of Menuchas HaNefesh. The first meeting was held 2 weeks ago in Yerushalayim, and this is the second of 10 sessions, Bez Hashem, that we'll be presenting. In the first session, we began to discuss the differences between Menuchas HaNefesh and Tzar HaNefesh. And there are many aspects or many ways that we see Tzar HaNefesh in our door in this generation, maybe more than any other generation. Every day is filled with a constant stream of expressions of Tzar HaNefesh. So I spent the last day and a half in Los Angeles, and as I was driving back to the airport with a young man who was driving very quickly, I noted firstly the way he was driving. He was really out of control. He had a new car. It was a fast car. He was driving a car service, and you could see he was almost addicted to the fast driving. Frankly, it scared me. We were late, though. He had a reason to drive fast, but it was clear that that's how he always drives. I also noticed that he smoked cigarettes. There was a pack of cigarettes in the front seat. And that his iPhone, which was on the dashboard, kept on going on with different messages, texts, emails, phone calls. He had music playing on the iPhone that he could hear, which was a kind of a fast rap music. He was a firm young man also. He had moved from Borough Park and now was living in Los Angeles. It was clear that he was out of control, that his life was filled with Tzar HaNefesh. But he would say very clearly that there's nothing wrong with the way he lives. He enjoys it. He enjoys being who he is. But I would tell you that he's very far away from Menuchas HaNefesh. There's probably nothing in his life that has experienced it as Menuchadik. His lifestyle, his dress, his habits. I got on the plane, and the plane was filled with video screens, all of which had violence, preachers, all around Menuchas HaNefesh, Tzar HaNefesh in the air. When I got up this morning, I got a call from a niece of mine who was a shatran, a very wonderful shatran, who told me that she had just made a shidduch. The Kala, who was so happy to be a Kala, woke up the next morning after the Vort and said, "I don't know why I got engaged. I made a mistake. It was the biggest mistake of my life. I can't stand the way he looks. I can't stand the way he speaks. I can't stand anything about him." She's in a state of downward cycle of anxiety and fear, doesn't want to continue, wants to break the engagement. These are all expressions of Tzar HaNefesh. I left my house after, took a little walk after I got from shul, and there was a young lady, a high school girl, one of the local Beis Yaakovs. Everything was supposed to be covered the way it was, but she was wearing an outfit that was tighter than anyone can imagine. I don't think any young, firm girl any time in her history had ever worn an outfit that was so tight and exposed so much in a way that took the issue, took the concept of tznius and threw it out the window. And she would say that she's very comfortable with herself. Another expression of Tzar HaNefesh. We see Tzar HaNefesh in every aspect of our environment. It's part of the world we live in. It's in the atmosphere, it's in the clothing, it's in the media. It's in the way we speak, it's the words we use, the coffee we drink, the cigarettes we smoke. And so frequently what we hear people say is, I'm not peace or nefesh, this is the way I want to live. Sometimes we will have people who will tell us that they're in peace or nefesh. They'll call it something else. They'll say, I'm very nervous. They'll say, I'm very anxious. They'll say, I can't control my thoughts. My thoughts are always running away with themselves. Maybe they'll say, I'm very sad. I'm lonely. I have low self-esteem. I need someone to help me. This is a very different group than the first group. The first group felt like they were doing quite well. There was nothing wrong. I can drive this car, and I can wear this clothing, and I can watch this movie. And maybe I shouldn't be engaged to this guy, so I have a right to be nervous and upset and want to break the engagement. That's not something I need help with. I'm fine. You have a problem if you don't accept me this way. The second group admits that there's a problem, that they feel troubled inside, that they can't control their thoughts and their moods. Or sometimes we hear people say, well, it's okay if I get angry. It's okay if I have moods. Or I'm just a jealous person, so nothing I can do about it. Or I'm a Magushim person. I had a fellow tell me, he said, listen, I come from Flatbush, and therefore I can be more Magushim than other people. So the expressions of Pizer and Nefesh in our society, whether we want to look at it as cultural or whether we want to look at it as emotional, whether we want to see it as a therapeutic issue or personality issue, but all of these expressions of Pizer and Nefesh, whether they're experienced as problematic to the person or whether we see it as problematic, I who sees a Beis Yaakov girl dressed a certain way, or I who see a guy from Bar Park drive a certain way, or listen to a certain kind of music, or dress a certain way. We have to understand that it doesn't make a difference whether it's a treatment issue, whether it's a cultural issue, from our perspective. Obviously, we're not going to give musr to somebody who doesn't want musr. They're not going to listen to us. But it's how we see it. It's not what determines what tznius is. It's not determined by the culture, by what's acceptable today. That doesn't... What beautiful music is not determined by the culture. There's something the Alam Aver, something much higher. What Pizer and Nefesh is essentially is a deviance. It's an ivut from that which exists in all of us. The emotional places in the Neshama in all of us. That Neshama resides within us. That never changes. When we say on Shabbos Mincha that we are asking for Menucha, Menucha Sanefesh, Hashkeid, Vetach, Shalom, Shalva, Emes Ramuna, Ava Nadava, what we're asking is to experience that which the Ribbono Shel Olam places within each of us. And that never goes away. That's always there. It doesn't make a difference whether I'm driving a car at 60 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone, whether I'm smoking a cigarette, whether I'm dressed in a way I shouldn't be dressed, whether I'm listening to a certain kind of music, whether I feel oppressed or anxious or obsessive, whether my thoughts are running away with me, it doesn't make a difference. Because there is within each of us all the time this core of self, this Hanashamish and Asatabi Tahorihi, it's always there, it never goes away. Rabbi Rucham writes in Parshas Tazrim Batzorah, he says, what's the difference between a Yid and a Goy? So the difference is that if you take a little pebble and put it on a table, and you cover that pebble with sock, with burlap, said, you won't be able to feel the pebble because the sock or the burlap is also very rough. So you won't be able to feel the pebble under the sock or the burlap. But if you take that pebble and you cover it with meshi, you cover it with silk, you're going to feel the pebble. He said, that's why the guy does not have any halachas about kedusha and tahara and kashrus. Because the guy's neshama is a neshama that is very rough. It's like sock, it's like burlap. And it wouldn't make a difference if he keeps kashrus or tumas taharas. It wouldn't make a difference. He wouldn't know the difference. A yid, on the other hand, has a neshama of meshi. Every little thing is felt. That's why we have dinim of kashrus, of chol of Yisrael, of tumas tahara, of kedusha and kedusha and chol, that everything is delicate, and that always exists within us. We were saying last week that Rabbi Rucham says that, gives a pasuk in Yeshaya that says that the world is a yam nigrash, which shom that Russia lives in a yam nigrash, a yam that's always heaving, a yam that's always violent. It's a violent world that Goy lives in. He feels comfortable. This is his world. On the other hand, the avos that we're learning about today, the parshas of the avos are a merkava. They never stop being a kli kibul for the bon shalom. They're never moving. They're always quiet inside. So, the first thing we're learning here, we're trying to understand when people come to see us, we want to assess the girl who wants to break the engagement, the couple's having a shalom bias issue, the individual who's having difficulties with his thoughts or feelings. We want to assess how much of a pizur and nefesh they're experiencing. To what degree pizur and nefesh has taken over their lives? To what degree are they unable to experience menuchas and nefesh? Now, what is menuchas and nefesh? We really haven't defined it very well. We say that on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we have we say in the mincha of Shabbos, we say it's Ava, the Dova, Shalom, Shalva, Emes, Muna, Hashkava, Vetach. These are all very, very gentle qualities. They're all very clear qualities. Menuchas HaNefesh is the ability to live quietly within myself, to feel a sense of control. I want to tell you a story that I saw in the Sefer called Madrigas Adam, about the altar of Navarduk. And this is something beyond myself, and I'll never reach it. I know very few will, but it does give us a sense of what menuchas and nefesh means, how the Torah meant it to be, and then we can go into the more practical applications of it, the more mitzvistic, more realistic applications of menuchas and nefesh, and how we can help people, acquire these skills. So the story I want to tell you happened in the about 1910, and there was a battle going on in the Ukraine between the Bolsheviks and the loyalists of the Tsar, and the altar of Navarduk had a yeshiva in Kiev. The yeshiva was comprised of young men, not very old, probably in 1920-21. It was obviously one of the more important yeshivas in Eastern Europe. And the battle between the loyalists of the Tsar and the Bolsheviks was raging outside. And it was Shabbos. And throughout Shabbos, the battle was raging. There was mortar fire going off, explosions going off in the courtyard. And it came time to make Avdallah. Shabbos is over. And the person who was writing this in the Sefer, in Madregas HaAdam, gave the following description of what was happening inside the Beis HaMedrash while the battle was raging outside. He said that the Alta, while the explosions were going off and everyone knew that all it would take was one mortar shell to go through the roof of the yeshiva and they would all be finished, they would all perish. They were all very frightened, but the only thing that kept them from losing their emuna was the stillness of the altar. So the mechaber of the sefer writes that the altar was singing Abdullah in a very, very gentle and very peaceful way. And they all heard his voice, but more than hearing his voice, there was something else that they saw. They saw that the altar was holding the cup of wine. And everyone knew that the cup of wine, you can see the cup of wine is filled, it's Abdullah, so it's filled to the top. So if a person is nervous, you can see that the wine is shaking, is shimmering, it's falling, it's dripping. Everyone can see. But everyone was amazed to see that as the altar held the cup of wine while the mortar shells were exploding outside, not one drop of wine spilled. It meant that they themselves had a feeling of amunah and bitachon, hashke v'vetach, quiet them, inner quiet and bitachon, because they were able to see that the altar himself inside had this feeling of hashke v'vetach, menuchos nefesh. And how could they see it? They saw it because the wine was still, even though it came to the top of the cup. What an incredible example of control over one's feelings. I know as I was my trip to Los Angeles, I was late for the airport. I got there late. I was busy preparing materials. And how nervous I was about getting there on time and getting on the plane on time. You know, so what would happen? What would happen was I get the next flight. In the end, I did take the next flight. There were complications. But here is someone whose very life is at stake, and the life of all the Talmidim that are around them are at stake. And the explosions are going off, so every explosion makes you want to jump. And yet, he's able to contain himself, to keep himself quiet, to keep that sense of bitachon. Why? Because the Alter and so many like him, the CEO, so to speak, the president of the organization, the mayor, the governor, the president, whatever, inside is this neshama, is this quiet, gentle neshama that's guiding all behavior, all thoughts. And so what we're teaching, in a sense, and obviously none of us ever want to experience what they experience in Europe, but we experience it every day. We're worried about our bank account, we're worried about our children, we're worried about catching a plane, we're worried about the way someone is driving, we're worried about so many different issues, our children, everything in life. How do we keep ourselves in peace and menuchas nefesh? How do we prevent ourselves from falling in the entrapment of Peter and Ephesh? And how do we help people who come to us who want to break shidduchim, who want to break marriages, who don't know what to do about the constant state of fears and anxieties? I mentioned two weeks ago, I mentioned one young man who was dating, and he would blush on a date. And he's not young, maybe he's 25, 26, I think that's how old he is, and he's gone out quite a few times, and every time he's on a date, he starts to blush. And then he starts to think about, well, is this girl seeing me and observing how I blush? And he gets worried. And as he worries, he starts to blush even more. That's Peter and Ephesh, because there's something about him that's out of control. The blood flowing to his face is out of control. His worries about changing color is out of control. He learned the skills. Baruch Hashem, he became a chassan. He learned how to control himself. He's not the Alter of Navarduk, but he learned to control how the blood rushes to his face and how not to worry about it even when it does. And he just called me before Shabbos and told me he's a chassan. It's impossible for him to believe that it really happened, that he can control himself. Pizer and Nefesh leads to a lack of control. We may feel we're in control, but it's really a lack of control. So, you know, we have to understand it like this. I have a body temperature of 98.6. If my body temperature goes up to 102, chas v'shalom, well, I'm going to feel a headache, and I'm going to feel tired, and I'm going to feel pains, right? So, I'm aware of it because the body sensors is always telling me that what's wrong with my body. But when it comes to our thoughts and feelings, we may be 103 and not know it. This fellow driving the cab was 103. He didn't know it. He thought that was his 98.6, but it's not 98.6. I want to give you a situation I dealt with recently. There was a man who had just been through a divorce, and he came to see me. He said he never really wanted to get married originally. He loved gambling, right? And he, the truth was that he was lonely. But he himself was a yosem. His father died when he was very young. And he said, I don't really love people. And they don't like me either. I don't like them and they don't like me. And that they say they like me because I'm very generous and I give to them. And I told him that's not the way the Rishon makes us. The Rishon creates us as very loving people. And recently I was able to, Baruch Hashem, help this young man meet a young woman. And we worked together and now he's married. And he tells me, you know, I really never realized how much I need to feel that love. That love, or that being a part of someone's life, is 98.6. That's menuchas nefesh. All his life, when he thought that he could do what he wants and go where he wants, and that's really 103. He thought it was 98.6, but it's really 103. That's how we fool ourselves. I want to tell you a story, a very important story that changed my life, which helped me understand so much about menuchas nefesh and pizer nefesh. It was many years ago before I understood these concepts, but it helped me understand the meaning of a deeper self, the neshama within the self. It's probably the most important situation I've ever come across, and it still affects me today. There was a young man I was working with. His name was Ari. Ari was at the time maybe 35. He was married. He had a couple of kids. He was from. He was, I believe, a teacher. And one day he came to see me and he said, you don't know me, but I need your help, because if I don't get your help, I'm going to be in very deep trouble. Sure. What was the problem? So he said, I live in a firm community and I go to shul and my kids go to yeshiva. And I'm married, but it's all one big lie. I'm not any of these people. The fact is that I'm not Shomer Shabbos, I smoke on Shabbos. I watch television on Shabbos. I go to shul, but I don't really know how to daven. I'm married, but I really don't care if I'm married or not. I'm supposed to love my kids, but I don't really think about them that much. I work too many hours, and I don't really pay attention to anyone's needs. I really care only about myself. I do things I shouldn't be doing, al pi halacha, and other things as well, and I'm afraid that if I don't stop, they're going to catch me. They're going to find out. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose everything. And I don't know how to stop. That's the request he made of me. So, I didn't know where to begin with Ari. He began to tell me, though, that he himself, like the other person I mentioned, was a yosem. And his father had died when he was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And his mother had remarried. His mother had remarried, but it wasn't really, didn't affect him very much. He really had very much hadracha in his life. So, after seeing Ari a couple of times, I got the feeling that he never really liked himself. He didn't care about his father's death. He didn't care about his mother. Didn't care about anything. But after the third or fourth session, he came in and he said, he called me rather. He said, "I need to speak to you." So he sounded very important. So he came in and he said, "I have a story to tell you. I never told anyone the story before, because I never knew about it." He said, "When my father was Nifter, I was about 8 or 9 years old. We had a neighbor. She was an Irish woman. Her name was Mrs. Grady or something like that, Brady. And the day that my father was Nifter was a Shabbos. And Mrs. Brady was very close to us. She lived next door. And she came into the house and she saw me. And she saw my mother crying, and she realized what happened. And she took me into her house. And she said, that I was her favorite. She says, 'Here, Ari, you're my favorite. You don't have to suffer so much. Sit over here.' She sat me in front of a television set, and I watched television that Shabbos afternoon. I'm 8 or 9 years old. And I watched television on that Shabbos afternoon. I didn't really care. I enjoyed the television. I was happy to see the television. I didn't want to think about the other things. The next day was the day of the Levaya. The day of the Levaya, I was young, and in those days they didn't always have kids go to the Levaya. So they said, 'Ari, maybe you should stay home.' And I was very happy to stay home. I don't remember if I went into her house to watch television, but I was very happy to stay home. I really didn't want to go to the Levaya. I didn't want to see it. And then that night, when everyone came home from the Levaya, that afternoon, it was sitting Shiva, and I was happy to sit there, and people, I didn't know what they were saying, really. And I liked all the attention. And I went to sleep, and I really didn't care." He said, "That was until last night, before I called you." I said, "What happened last night?" He said, "Last night, I was lying in my bed. And as I was falling off to sleep, I remembered something. I remembered something that I had forgotten." Let's say he was 35 now, so this was maybe 17, 18 years ago. He said, "I remember I had a dream. I had a dream the night of my father's Levaya, which is the night after the Batira. So the dream that I had was that I was lying in bed, And somebody came over to me and whispered in my ear, 'Ari, Ari, your father's alive.' So I said, 'My father's alive?' He said, 'Yeah, he's alive, and they probably lived in Borough Park,' he said, and he's walking down 13th Avenue. So I heard this, and I jumped out of my bed and said, "Tati, Tati, you're alive, Tati. I knew you wouldn't leave me, Tati. I knew you wouldn't leave me." And I jumped out of bed, and I ran into the street, and I started running to where he was coming from. And I knew that when I would turn the corner onto 13th Avenue, that I would see him. And I'd be the happiest boy in the whole world. But as I got to the corner and turned to the corner, something happened. I woke up. I realized it was all a dream. And at that moment, I realized something that I hadn't faced before, that my father, my Tati, was dead. And I went back to sleep, and I forgot the dream. Until last night, when I remembered the dream. And while the dream was almost 20 years ago, it's like it was just happening to me today. And I was quite shocked when I heard this dream that he was telling me. And he was able to say over time that everything I thought about myself, of being a bad person, of not caring about my father, about other people, of not being human, of not having feelings, of being dishonest, I realized it was a lie. It wasn't true. I did love him. I loved him then and I love him now. I just forgot. I forgot the dream. I forgot how much I loved him. But now I remember. It reminded me of what Shlomo HaMelech says. Ani yoshen v'li bi'er. I'm sleeping, he's sleeping, but there's a heart in him that's awake. All of these years, there's a part of Ari that never forgot the dream. He couldn't remember it, but the part was always there. That experience with Ari gave me something I've never forgotten. For me, everyone who comes in is an Ari. I'm an Ari, you're an Ari. The guy in the taxi was an Ari. He knows there's a neshama inside of him that understands he's out of control. The girl in the tight skirt is an Ari. She understands there's a neshama that's in her that understands that she's violating it. The girl in the, who just became a kala, who wants to break the shidduch, is an Ari. She understands what it means to be quiet, and I spoke to my niece Shatrin, a wonderful boy. She understands inside her who this boy is and how she's out of control. The goal of everything we teach in this, essentially, is how we help people understand the Ari within them, how we help people understand that deeper neshama, that neshama of Meshi that's there all the time. Just because people are acting vilt, acting crazy, doesn't mean that they are the way they're acting. It does mean that they're being influenced by society through every way that society influences us, through our computers and through music and through billboards and through everything around us. That the sea that's so violent all around us. That is the guy. That's essentially who the guy is. That we've internalized so much of that. And what we're attempting to do is we're attempting to help people quiet that down and experience the Ari within them. We're trying to help people understand that their Bnei Shalom wants us to be at 98.6. He wants us to be Hashke, Bebetach, Shom, Veshova. That's where we're supposed to be. Ki Menucha Sam, Bekadosh Shemecha. When we take in Menucha and Bekadosh Ribono Shel Olam, we become a Kiddush Hashem. A person who says, I want to be angry or I have a right to be this way, you know, it's... I'll give you a mashal about a car, right? Let's say I have a very close friend, and I buy him a Lexus. Brand new Lexus, $150,000. A Rolls Royce. And I take the car and I park it outside of his house. And I say, Yanko, I'm buying you a present. I'm buying you a Lexus, I'm buying you a Rolls Royce. Because you're a very special person, has special wood, special mahogany wood, and all kinds of electronics, and it has so many different things that make it a special car. And I park it outside, and I go by the house a few days later. Maybe it was raining, maybe it was snowing. And see, the car is filthy. The car is filthy, and I look inside the car, and I see it's filled with trash, with garbage. I say, Yanko, what did you do with the car? It's such a beautiful car. What? How come this trash is? How come it's not clean? He tells me that, you know, here in Far Rockaway, it's snowing all the time, and they don't come to pick up the garbage, and it stays in the streets. So I need a place. I need a place. I put it in the car. I said, well, don't you understand, Yanko? That a Lexus, that a Rolls Royce is not a place to put garbage. It destroys the electronics. It destroys the beauty, the yofi. It destroys the paint. It destroys the mahogany wood and the leather instrumentation. It destroys everything. The nimshal is, Rabbi Shlomo gives us a Lexus. He gives us a Rolls Royce. That Lexus is between our ears. It's our minds. Rabbi Shlomo wants us to live a menuchas and nefesh. Chazal says, Ein hashuas v'shchina v'mat v'mokom shel atzus. The Shechina does not rest in the place of Atzus. It only rests in the place of beauty, of Yofi, of Shalom v'Shalva, Hashkei v'Vetach. That's where it rests. We, because of the lives we lead, we feel that we don't try to justify it, but it's so easy for us to be tense and nervous. People that we see to lose control of themselves and not feel they're losing control. I have a right to do this. I have a right to be sad. I have a right to be vilt. Right? A girl came to see me. She was engaged. She said that she wanted to break the engagement, and she did. She said, because my chassan is not exciting enough. How exciting do you want the chassan to be? I said. She says, well, I want the excitement to be like when somebody goes bungee jumping, you know, they jump off the cliff in the amusement park. It's not a cliff, but it's exciting. That's Peter and Nefesh. She sees that as her right to feel that way. So the people who we deal with, who are trying to teach them something, we're trying to teach them about Menuchas and Nefesh. Now, how do we teach them? But the way we teach them, that's going to be the primary goal of this program, how we teach them. I want to say a few more things about Menuchas HaNefesh before we get into the practical applications. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to go into the more practical aspects of how we achieve Menuchas HaNefesh, which will take us to the rest of this program. But I want to discuss things a little more, even a little more deeply. What do we call Menuchas HaNefesh? Well, Chazal compares it to a town, right? To a city, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has a mayor. The mayor has someone in charge of education, someone in charge of finance, someone in charge of the Mishtara, different bodies, different departments. Now let's say the mayor has a meeting going on. And the meeting has all the department heads. So if everyone watches over their budget, and everyone watches over their tafkidim, and everyone watches over their gvul, or what they're supposed to be doing, and everyone takes the direction for the mayor, well, everyone is now working together to create a wonderful city. That's Menuchas HaNefesh. The Rosh Hashanah gives us many kochos. He gives us thoughts, he gives us feelings, he gives us our body, he gives us our he gives us our behavior, he gives us so many different things. All the organs in our body. When everything is working together and it's following a CEO, it's following a mayor, it's following the right the menahel of all this. Well, everyone feels safe because everybody is working together for a common good. However, when different departments at the meeting are plotting against the mayor, when this one wants more money, this one wants more power, this one wants to get rid of this department head, wants to get rid of the mayor, that's pizer hanefesh. Pizer means to be mefuzar, means to be scattered. When a person has runaway thoughts, which we're discussing thoughts in greater depth next week, very important part of this program is thoughts. When a person has runaway thoughts, a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, right? He starts to daven Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden his thoughts run away in a million directions. He can't control them. A person can't control feelings. So what we're saying is that once these kochos of nefesh can't be controlled, that's what pizer nefesh is. You know, I tell people, anybody who wants to make a lot of money, just get a degree, get a certification in dealing with obsessive compulsive disorder, and move to Lakewood. You'll be busy the rest of your life. Torah revolves around Machshava, the beauty of Machshava. Machshava sits at the top of our heads, at the highest point of who we are. Obsessive thinking is a form of obsessive thinking is pizer nefesh. Its thoughts run wild. Thoughts that are without any control. Right? So that's the difference between pizer nefesh and menuchas nefesh. Pizer nefesh is a sense of no controls. There's no guidance. Wildheit, if you will. Sometimes depression. Menuchas nefesh is a feeling of synchrony, a feeling of harmony, like an orchestra, that all the pieces are working together. Everybody is working together to help so the mayor can run the city. This is what menuchas nefesh is about. The goal then of the program is to learn what Ari teaches us. It's to learn that each of us has a very deep core of self, a beautiful self, no matter who we think we are. Rabbi Shalom puts us there. I said that the Elder of Kelm said that why does a baby smile? A baby smiles because that's who the baby is. That's how Hashem created the baby. And someone walking around now at the age of 65, even if they're depressed, there's still that baby in there smiling. It never goes away. That's our mahus. That's who we are. The goal of this program is to help people learn how to recognize that deeper self. It's to help people learn the Ari in themselves and learn the beauty of being able to live in a healthier, quieter state of mind, a state of menucha. How to keep yourself under control. Your anxieties, your feelings, your thoughts, your physical being, everything. Habits, addictions. It's limitless. That's what this is about. And you're going to learn within maybe a minute or two of seeing somebody how you can kind of get a sense of their pizer nefesh, menuchas nefesh. Next week we're going to be discussing the five dimensions of self, of thoughts and feelings and physiology, our bodies, our behavior, and our ability to live in close relationships. These are the five dimensions of self that we're going to be discussing next week, Bez Hashem. And we're going to be seeing how each one has its own dimension of Pizur and Nefesh and Menuchas and Nefesh. And we're going to see how what the Rav Shlom wants us to learn is how to transform the Pizur and Nefesh to Menuchas and Nefesh. That is the challenge that Rav Shlom gives each of us at every moment of our lives. So I think this is a good place to end. If I can unmute the mic, maybe we can take a few questions and bring the second session to an end. Hello? Okay. Okay.